Hello, and welcome to Real Talk, Real People. My name is Simon, and I am on a mission to normalize conversations about mental health and well-being. Throughout the series, join me as I talk with my friends about how different things can impact our well-being, from music to sport to books to traveling. I want to talk to real people about how these things can affect the way we feel. Hello and welcome to the very first full episode of Real Talk, Real People. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you're ready to listen to a wonderful conversation. Music is such a huge part of my life and everyone else's, so I thought it would be fitting to start here and talk about how it can impact how we feel. And who better to talk about this with than my singing partner in crime? We've done karaoke all over the world together, breaking eardrums from London to Vancouver. So sit back, relax, and enjoy as I chat with my friend Jess about how music can impact our well-being. So fresh off from our own carpool karaoke session not too long ago, I am so pleased to introduce Jess to the show. So welcome, Jess.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. And thank you for coming on and talking about the topic this week, which is music and how music can impact our well-being, both positively and negatively. Now, both, I think you and I are very big lovers of music. Is that fair?
Yeah, huge. Music lovers.
Huge music lovers, absolutely. I thought I heard the word Beyonce. I don't know if that's just already I'm jumping ahead.
Yeah, you might be just trying to read my mind.
I think we're much like a few other people in the world. We are absolutely huge lovers of music and huge lovers of Beyonce as a person, as a god, as an artist. But yeah, I mean, if we just start by talking about just kind of music generally, what do you think about music? I mean, obviously music's such a huge part of people's lives. What does music mean to you?
I think I see music as an accompaniment, if that makes sense. So I sometimes do find that if I try and sort of cycle home or if I'm walking without music, I sort of feel my journey's not quite either interesting or it's not like a journey, if that makes any sense. So I think it's just part of my day each day. I sometimes listen to podcasts, I suppose, but I think music is definitely a lot easier because I think you can sort of listen to music and obviously you can either zone out or you can zone in. And I think it's just, yeah, an accompaniment to life. Oh, that's so cheesy. An accompaniment to life.
What do you think makes music that accompaniment? What gives you that company when you're listening to a song? What is it about music that does that?
I think it can depend on, I guess, what you're doing and how you're feeling, and also the weather, which, you know, on a day like a sunny day, I think it can make you feel upbeat and it can make you feel happy, you know, if it's like a good beat. Or equally, I think if you're feeling a particular way, you can always find a song to either take you out of like a bad mood to be there for you when you're in a bad mood. So I think a bit of everything. I think you can use it for different things. I actually always listen to music when I read as well, if I'm in a busy place, because I find it, but not music with lyrics in that case. I then listen to soundtracks, so like film soundtracks, because I think they can then zone me into what I'm reading. So I think you can, there's a huge different variation of genres of music, but I think there's really different music for either how you're feeling, yeah, the weather, where you're going, you know, like road trip soundtracks, like a huge thing, aren't they? And I think there's always a different type.
I think it's interesting what you're saying there about the kind of soundtracks and when you're reading. I suppose, as you say, there's so many different types of music. But when you're listening to a soundtrack while you're reading, I suppose it's really atmospheric. I suppose it can create, you know, this imagination, this different world that you're probably already part creating by reading the characters and the text and the book. But adding that extra kind of element to it, does that kind of enhance that reading experience?
Yeah, I think it tones your senses. It changes, you know, sometimes I think when you're sat in a cafe, you can get really easily involved in other people's conversation. You know, you can tune into what other people are saying. Or I think if you've got a soundtrack, then I guess you're sort of encasing your own thoughts. And I think it's a lot easier than to just sort of read. And they're not always the most cheerful soundtracks I actually pick when I'm reading. Okay. And I don't think that matters. It doesn't then change sort of what I'm reading. I just tend to listen to more classical soundtracks, actually.
You've got a particular favourite one?
Yeah, favorite The Pianist. The Pianist. It's quite
really
cool. Yeah, there's a lot of Chopin, but it's just very instrumental, and it's really, yeah, it just makes reading a lot. So sometimes Amelie, but that's quite jumpy, quite upbeat, and it's not always, I don't find it as easy to zone in on my book then.
Yeah. And is that the kind of music that, I mean, I'm assuming The Pianist is piano music rather than, like, you know, guitar or kind of orchestral music. Is that your preference? Do you prefer to listen to piano based music?
Not as a day to day. If I'm work, or if I'm, you know, if I'm reading, but if I'm trying to do work sometimes as well, I think lyricless music, be it orchestra or instrumental or piano. But no, I think my day to day is very, very different from that. But I would say that I do listen to a wide range of music. So I actually looked back over my sort of last year of music, and it is very varied. Yeah. So obviously the Pianist soundtrack features quite heavily because I do read quite a lot. But other than that, I sort of scattered with lots of different music. But I would say that my main genre of music is not orchestral soundtracks.
Let's run through that chart in that case. What was the kind of most popular, or was it in that order? Are you able to see kind of what your most played song was of the last year?
Yeah, so my top three are actually from The Pianist. So I guess I do read quite a lot, actually.
Blimey, that's good.
And then it's a song I was quite surprised about. It's Rita Ora, Let You Love Me.
Oh, no.
Yeah, sorry about that. It's a Taylor Swift number, but you need to calm down. So again, I'm quite surprised here. I didn't really like Lover as an album.
Well, that song that You Need to Calm Down, I think, is only like 2 minutes and 25 seconds. So I can imagine it's a very quick song to listen to. So it must have.
Yeah, I probably don't get there quick enough to skip it.
Yeah. By the time you're like, oh, this is rubbish, I need to skip it, the song's already finished. So yeah. I shouldn't say it's rubbish. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Taylor Swift as well. Not particularly that song, if I'm honest.
No. And then Sorry, Beyonce, which I think is there justified, very, very deserved. Because
absolutely.
Best albums ever.
That is. So that's off Lemonade album?
Yes. Yeah.
So let's talk about, so we're 4 minutes in and we're talking about Beyonce. Perfect. Exactly. Yeah. Where we want to be on this podcast. I mean, the subject could be Beyonce, actually. So let's talk about the Lemonade album and try and link it a little bit, I suppose, to kind of well-being and just kind of generally that feeling of when you're listening to music. When you first listened to Lemonade, did you feel when you heard that?
I think there's a range of emotions in Lemonade, because there are songs that I think that are very sad, and they're very sad for different reasons. So I guess Sorry is a song sort of about, yeah, I think, you know, she's leaving, ultimately. She's leaving her husband. Yeah. But there are also songs, you know, about her father and him not being around. So I think at face value, I think when you first listen to the album, it's just an amazing album, isn't it? And there's songs that are just so upbeat, and there's songs that... And I think that's how I listen to music at first. I don't really listen to lyrics the first time around. I'm actually more someone that listens to, like, the beat and the bass. So I think just... Lemonade from start to finish is just sort of a bit like a roller coaster. But actually, then I think when you start to listen to the lyrics, it's very empowered. It's very empowered. Yeah. But I think equally there are touches where that if you listen to you know, if you listen closely, I guess it's quite a sad but strong album.
When you listen to kind of sad lyrics, and I suppose to an extent kind of sad music as well, if, you know, like piano acoustic versions and or guitar acoustic versions often lead to a bit of a kind of sadder mood, do you respond to that in that way? If you hear a sad song or if you hear sad lyrics, does that affect your mood in any way?
I don't think so, because I think if I'm in a good mood, I don't think that then the music impacts that. But I definitely think, you know, we've all had one of those days when we're feeling sad, or we've, you know, something's happened, you've had a bad day. And I think you go to the song that sort of allows you to keep feeling that way.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that it works in the opposite way. So if I'm feeling happy, I think a sad song can come on and I'll choose to listen to it because I like the song maybe, or I'll skip it because, yeah, maybe I do feel that, oh, you know, I don't want to listen to that because it's probably going to make me sad. I mean, it's quite interesting to look back again as I was looking back over last year, because I thought it was quite interesting to see what I was listening to at the beginning of lockdown. And actually, there was not a lot of downbeat music in there. I was obviously not like the rest of the world loving TikTok, but I was loving The Weeknd. And that's quite an upbeat album. And there's Young Blood, The Naked and Famous, which I think is one of that's a song that I always go back to because it's so bubbly. That's a really happy song. It allowed me to sort of dwell, I suppose.
When lockdown started, that was quite a traumatic event for everyone, that none of us have really had this before, of you've got to stay in your home, there's this deadly virus outside, etc. Do you think that you turn to music as a bit of that, you know, company? You mentioned company earlier on, but that kind of like, right, music, get me through this, like let's put on some happy tunes and let's get through this. And that's why you're more towards like the weekend. Is that how you use music?
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I was on furlough for, you know, most of 2020 from April 1st, and I think definitely music was my accompaniment because I was walking so much to sort of pass time, and then on my bike as well on longer journeys I do listen to music. And yeah, I definitely think it takes you out of necessarily thinking too much sometimes. If you're listening to happier music, then you're not necessarily dwelling, I suppose, on everything that was going on around.
Yeah,
especially because it's something that there was not really a resolution to. It's, you know, it's not like having a breakup and being like, oh, I feel sad, I'm just gonna listen to, you know, blank. It was very much like, well, this is life, and I guess you just have to kind of get on with it and just try and do positive things to make yourself feel better. And yeah, if that was listening to The Weeknd, sort of rather upbeat album, because yeah, I think there were some sadder songs on there, but I think, you know, the bangers, so to speak, were ones very upbeat, and I couldn't really tell you any of the lyrics necessarily. You know, they didn't shape me or change me.
I remember when he released a song called Starboy quite early on in his career, and I had no idea, something about a P45 cleaner or something, and I have no idea what any of that song is about, but it's such a good song. Very much what you're saying earlier, the beat and the bass.
Yeah.
Just hear it. And I know Blinding Lights is probably the biggest song of 2020, and you hear that. Din, din,
din, din, din, din, din. Yeah, it just takes you, doesn't it? You just sort of go with it. Yeah, and actually, interestingly, well, I found it interesting, was one of my songs in May, I think it was. Yeah, May, was one from a podcast, and it was a song from a BBC podcast that I listened to, and I just loved it so much that I found it, and I just had to find it, and I then listened to it subsequently. It was a really random song, but I obviously sort of connected to it in the podcast. So yeah,
there's an interesting argument around, do you let music define your mood, or does your mood define the music? And I think for some people, you know, they can be walking along having the best day of their life, and then a certain song comes on and they just instantly get sad because it's a sad song. And I think some people, I know I quite enjoy like acoustic versions of songs or like piano versions of songs, and I often just put them on and I enjoy them. But quite a few friends are like, oh, this is such a depressing song, so depressing, like just the sound of this music. I think people just sometimes respond to sad music in a sad way. Likewise, some people hear a really positive upbeat song and it just brings them out of any kind of mood that they're in, any kind of negative mood that they're in.
Yeah.
Brings them out of that and brings them a bit of joy. Whereas,
I think the latter is true for me. I think that definitely if I'm in an okay mood, you know, I think a really upbeat, happy, good beat can make my mood even better. I don't think, luckily, I am influenced by the sort of tone of music to then feel sad. But I guess if you are already feeling sad, then if you just sit hours on end listening to, you know, heartbreak.
Yeah, I think that's the other side of that argument, is do you let your mood define the music that you listen to? So if you are feeling a bit low or a bit kind of depressed or struggling to, you know, feel positive in the day, a lot of people I think actually tend to then put sad music on, or sadder music on, to almost kind of wallow in that sadness and
allows you to sort of
emotion.
I think that's really true. And I think there are a smattering of, you know, sadder songs in what I listen to, but I think the sad songs that I like, I think I either like for the lyrics, because I do, you know, once I've heard a song a couple of times, I'll then start to listen to the lyrics a bit more, or I'll, you know, when you just realise that you know them, you don't really know how you know them, you just know them, I guess, because you've heard the song so many times. I think the sad songs that I like are more songs that they're like either lyrically quite clever, or I just like the beat, or there's something about the sort of riff that I like.
Do you find, if you can relate to the song, especially if it is a kind of more emotional side of things about a breakup or a loss or something, do you find that that makes it more sad?
I think some of the time it's more what you relate the song to. So, you know, there's a particular song that you listen to at a particular time or reminds you of someone, I think that is far more emotive for me than the lyrics, because I think lyrics are obviously a very personal thing. And whilst you can be like, oh, yeah, okay, well, I think maybe you relate to one line, but then, you know, everyone's experience is so different. Obviously, one song isn't necessarily going to define exactly what you experienced, if that makes sense. So I think for me, there are songs that I just don't want to listen to because of a particular time or a particular person, or I think that's more how I associate sad songs.
Is there a particular artist or is there a particular song that as soon as it comes on, you're just like, nope, skip, please, don't hear this?
There is, and what is it called? Maverick Sabre, I Need. I think you'd find the song quite pretty, actually. It's kind of like a Dermot Kennedy sounding voice, you know, a very sort of eerie, beautiful sort of male voice. But that song is a no for me.
I will be listening to that later on, just to see, because I often do judge a song by either like the name of the song or the name of the artist. So like the words Maverick Sabre and like the title I Need, I'm already like judging that song a bit like you judge a book by its cover, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds good, like I want to hear that, so I'm going to download
it.
There's a particular song, unfortunately, by Ellie Goulding called Army, and that for me, it's really hard because she plays it every time I go see her live. She plays it and it just instantly takes me. When my dog passed away, I mean, coming on a few years now, I made like a little montage video because the whole song Army is about you and your best friend and just having a good time and appreciating the moment that, you know, when I'm with you, I'm standing with an army, like I feel really comfortable in your company.
Yeah.
So when I hear it, I just think of Toby, my dog that passed away.
Yeah, so you're reliving that grief again.
Yeah, and it's crazy because people that know me know that I love Ellie Goulding.
I've stood next to you as she performed that song.
I was probably looking in the opposite direction because I was like, don't let Jess see me cry. Don't let Jess see me cry. But when it comes on in the car and I'm like, nope, move it on. People are like, what? Why? That's Ellie Goulding. I'm like, I just can't. That song, I just can't. But I think you're absolutely right. It's not necessarily like the message in the song, you know, like the whole kind of army meaning behind it. But as you say, it takes me to a place. It takes me to a memory that just knocks me for six. And it's as soon as those first couple of beats start on the guitar, I know exactly what the song is. I know exactly the reaction I'm going to have because I have it every single time. And still to this day, I mean, we're talking probably about 4 years later, and I still can't listen to that song in its entirety. And if I do listen to it, I cry. Like I can't not listen to it without crying. So
it's association, isn't it? The association you build is really strong. I think if you really like music, then that's something that you do attribute to events or things that have happened. And I guess it's very hard to detach that in your mind.
Yeah, and I think often you don't want to detach it either, I suppose, because as I say, probably not so much when it comes on randomly, but if you're in that mood where you're feeling a bit low and you kind of almost want to encourage that emotion, you're going to think, well, when was I kind of at my lowest? What song does make me the saddest? And then you go for those songs and you put those songs on.
Feel exactly the same.
And you mentioned earlier on about, you know, when you first listen to music, it's usually the kind of beat and bass that kind of gets you engaged. And then you start listening to the lyrics slightly afterwards. Are there any particular lyrics that stand out to you in terms of like amazing lyrics, whether it's positive or negative feelings? Are there any particular lyrics that stand out?
I mean, I've got Hot Sauce in My Bag. Swag.
Iconic.
Because it's just so iconic from Formation, from Lemonade. But I think I'm a huge fan, very controversial these days, but of Kanye West, and mostly for his lyrics. So I just most of his lyrics are very clever. So there's, you know, there's one that stands out particularly about the US government and his opinion on the AIDS crisis. And I just think a lot of his lyrics were just so smart.
Let's talk about, you mentioned like clever lyrics. I mean, obviously, that's totally why Taylor Swift is, you know, one of the top five songs in your playlist for 2020. Her lyrics, I mean, joking aside, actually, her lyrics are incredibly clever. I think she seems to have a real talent of making it sound incredibly simple. Like, they're very simple songs, like lyrically, they're very simple songs, almost like Avril Lavigne level. But actually, they're quite clever. There's a lot of depth to her simple lyrics.
Yeah, true. I think I suppose in the way you just mentioned Avril Lavigne, sort of anthemic, a lot of them. But yeah, she's definitely used music, I guess, as her platform. I think she's I mean, again, she's one that makes, you know, political statements only recently, I suppose. She's kept raps. But yeah, I think her albums almost tell a tale, you know, and I guess everyone's always trying to work out who she's talking about or, you know, what she's talking about. But I think, I mean, her albums are just, again, her album, usually from start to finish. As we said, we didn't like the album Lover. But I think some of the other ones, they are just, well, that's one that sticks in mind. I Bought a Knife to a Gunfight. And I think she references things that have happened in her life quite a lot and then makes them, yeah, a little bit clever. Reputation album. I think, you know, that was really, that came at a time when everyone was sort of, she hadn't been in the public eye for a long time. So I think some of these songs, I guess, are a bit of a fight, I think.
So you mentioned that, you know, she's very good at creating albums. Do you have a favourite album of all time?
Oh,
what's one of your top five favourite albums of all time?
Other than The College Dropout, which I've already mentioned, which I think was sort of first album and I was quite young then. But I do think Reputation is an album that I will never, ever, ever grow tired of. I think that is one of my favourite albums.
When that on, what's your instant reaction when you hear that? You think, you know, my playlist has gone round and I'm now at the beginning of this Reputation album. What's your kind of instant feeling when you hear that?
It kind of just makes me feel like I'm on her world tour dancing. Yeah, you know, when you just have one of those moments where you feel like you're on the stage, like you're at Wembley. I think just,
always performing.
Yeah, just those like first few boom, boom. But yeah, it makes me sort of want to like dance. I mean, I went and saw that the world tour, so that was such a good show.
And is that driven from like a very positive emotion because of that happy memory that you had of seeing her on tour? Is that what drives that kind of positive feeling and that kind of happiness and that joy when you hear that song?
Yeah, and also I remember when it came out, I was on holiday in Croatia back, when was it, 2017? And we sort of in our room and we were like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, it's out. And it sort of just reminds me of, you know, kind of like being crowded around the phone listening to it. Just like, oh my God, what's it going to be like? And then just being like, wow, this is really something.
It's
a really good album. And then obviously can't miss Lemonade, because I've already mentioned Lemonade. And I think that album as well is just, yeah, I just really love. And I also think that the video that goes alongside it, I've watched that like three or four times, and just the artistic sort of side of having a video that goes right the way through the album. I think, yeah, that was a really good.
Do you think that helps the artist kind of convey the emotion of what they're intending these songs to be?
Yeah, I think for Lemonade, it definitely grounded it to what, you know, it's all filmed in the South. It's very, very stark imagery of you know, the house where she films it, and then the scenes where she's sort of out sort of in the fields. I guess it's very rooted in the American South. Without that, I suppose it's a great album, but I suppose some of the gravitas that maybe she wanted to go alongside it.
Yeah, because I think the song formation, I think if you listen to the lyrics of the song formation, you can relate it to what the message of what she's trying to portray in terms of that kind of Black female empowerment, that deep self-empowerment, that roots of where you come from, be proud of who you are. I think you get that from the lyrics of Formation. But the rest of the album, I suppose the rest of the album is also kind of about a breakup, or not necessarily a breakup, it's about deceit and not being loyal and that kind of, you know, cheating on someone essentially is what happened, we believe. But do you think, I suppose, the undertone as well of that kind of knowing your roots, knowing where you come from, and honouring that comes through in that kind of Lemonade video right from start to finish, no matter what the song is, whether it's, you know, a song called Freedom where they're, you know, break off the chains, etc., right down to Sandcastles, which is, you know, a very, very sad song. I think you are able to get that from the Lemonade video, is her kind of the message of the whole album.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was obviously really important for her to put that behind the album, and the visual, because you could probably watch just that, right, without the music and still understand some of the messaging that she wanted to go around it.
I was going to say, yeah, that album's about 5 years old, and she could release it now and it would be a new, like it lives up to the 2021 kind of sound that we have at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
18 years ago, Crazy in Love was released.
Wow.
Around about June, July time, I think actually. It's probably around about now. So we're coming up to 18th birthday. That it's now legally allowed to drink in the UK. That's how old the song is. But that's always one where I just thought she could release that even now. You know, there's songs you hear like Toni Braxton, Unbreak My Heart, or like all the like old school girl bands, like even like Destiny's Child songs. You release them now or you hear them now and you're like, this sounds a bit dated. Crazy in Love comes on, those horns, that as soon as that starts, that just takes me to Nirvana. I can't even explain like where that takes me. That used to always be the song when I was 17, 18 and in a nightclub, I would be at the side at the bar, just having a few drinks, not really on the dance floor because it's not really my kind of thing. But as soon as that comes on, that I'm literally strutting my way like through the crowds, literally like, get out my way, bitch. Like, this is my time. And I would probably do that now. I would be in a nightclub. I mean, I wouldn't be in a nightclub now at 34, but if I was in a nightclub, I would be at the side. That song comes on, I would physically push people out of the way to get on the dance floor and just dance. It's
timeless, I suppose. It's
absolutely timeless. But I think the emotion. Well, actually, what's really interesting is when I think about it, I know we said before, maybe it's more for sad songs, you attach emotions and places and people and memories you attach to the sad songs. I don't actually attach anything to Crazy in Love. I mean, it was the year I would have been 16, I think, when it came out. So I wasn't driving. I was learning to drive when I was 17. So I wasn't like, driving along on a sunny day and I've just got lovely memories of that song on or anything. I've got no real kind of memory of where that song takes me. It literally, I think, is the musicality of the song. The lyrics are even a bit shit, to be honest. Like, tennis shoes don't even need to buy me a new dress or something like that. You're like, this is poor, actually, as a song. But the sound and her energy every time she performs.
Yeah, strut.
Yeah, it is that. Again, it's that empowerment. Like, it just makes me feel empowered that I can just strut down the street and not feel embarrassed because I'm like, yeah, I'm listening to Crazy in Love. Like, it's such an empowering song. It's just that, for me, I think is probably one of the best songs to impact my well-being and mental health in such a positive way. And I think it's from the sound of it. Do you have anything similar like that? Or do you have the same effect with Crazy in Love?
There's a song, actually, and it does remind me of you, that I guess can positively impact my mood and my mental health. And it's her sister, it's Solange, Losing You. And actually, really sad song, because it's talking about losing someone, but yeah. Aside from that, the actual the sound of the song is just so like happy and upbeat, and there's everything about it is like sunny. Also, The Pursuit of Happiness, I do really like the song Pursuit of Happiness by, was it Kid Cudi? I like that song as well. And again, I think it's more the beat. I guess it is actually talking about the pursuit of happiness in some ways. But again, I think it's possibly the best song for mental health if you actually listen. I think just it can make you feel sunny in your mind, I think.
I absolutely agree with you with that Solange Losing You song. And I remember it came to my attention because I was watching an Ellie Goulding interview, and she, I think someone asked her, what's one of the saddest songs that you know? And she said, Solange Losing You is one of the saddest songs that I know. And I was like, oh, I don't think I've heard that. And I listened to it. And my first reaction, much like yourself, when you listen to the bass and the beat, you just hear this like really easy listening, just so casual, so easy just to put on and just listen to the sound and not actually listen to the lyrics first time around.
Yeah.
And then
because I think it's basically saying, tell me the truth, am I losing you for good?
Yeah.
And that is just like,
yeah, and the repetition of that line like a few times, almost this like desperation, almost of like, just tell me the truth. Is this what's happening? And then I'm not the one that you should be making your enemy. Just the way that those words just bounce in rhythm, almost kind of you lose almost, and to an extent, what she's actually saying in that line, because it just, I'm not the one that you should be. It's almost like
I am. But I think surely that must be somewhat intentional, because otherwise she made it like a really, tell me the truth. Yeah, she would have been slower.
Can you imagine an acoustic version? Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that would.
I kind of have spent most of my life genuinely believing that an acoustic version of any song is better than the original. I think that just is stemmed from such a love of live music and it just like a man and his guitar. But what are your thoughts on acoustic music?
Yeah, I think there is something about listening to like a stripped back version of some songs that is very, very beautiful. I mean, I don't think you class it as acoustic, but the version of Simply the Best by Noah Reid, which featured...
Oh, Schitt's Creek, yeah.
Which I think, you know, I guess it's sort of acoustic. I mean, you definitely find an acoustic version of him doing it. But yeah, I think that just brings a whole new, you know, I guess the song means the same when Tina Turner sings it, but Tina Turner sings it in a very different way, whereas Noah Reid's is just, well, it makes me, yeah, I mean, it makes like that brings like chills to me when he sings it. But yeah, I think acoustic music is definitely, I suppose, yeah, like you, it sort of reminds me of seeing live music. So I guess back in the day when there was like Live Lounge, I always used to love hearing what other people would do with other people's music, because I do often think that acoustic versions or different takes on music can sort of bring like a new lease of life.
100% agree. That one of the brilliant examples of that is when London Grammar did a cover version of Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball, and I think you listen to Wrecking Ball as Miley Cyrus, not actually that bad a song, and honestly I'm quite a fan of it, but it's quite tricky. It's Miley Cyrus, it's her swinging around naked on a wrecking ball. The London Grammar version is so stoic, royal, just completely different feeling to the song. Have you heard it?
No, I don't think I actually have.
If you're ever a fan of, do you know London Grammar?
Yeah, I do quite like London Grammar songs. So, yeah, not all of them. But yeah, I do.
Careful what you say from now on. But if you like that kind of, I suppose, stark contrast of, you know, a pop song being turned into a very emotively charged song, give London Grammar, Radio 1, Live Lounge, Wrecking Ball a good listen to. They also cover All Night Long by Beyoncé.
Oh, okay.
That's another one in their Live Lounge as well. So definitely recommend that you have a listen to that. But when you listen to acoustic music, so when music is kind of a little bit more kind of unplugged and the beat is usually a little bit slower, what kind of impact does that have on like you and your mood? How do you respond to that?
I think because I'm generally a person that likes a beat, and I played when I was younger, I played the drums, so I think I do listen to the beat of a song first. So I think for me, acoustic music does generally lend itself to being a bit sadder. However, I am very appreciative of a good voice. So I think if someone, you know, if you can hear someone's like bare, like either vocal range or yeah, but I do think it does bring a bit of a twinge of sadness to me more with acoustic music, because I guess there's not that level below it of like a beat or a, I guess because you are then just listening to the lyrics. And I suppose I think my go-to is more the beat.
And so that, and so the beat kind of brings that positive vibe to listening experience.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, that absolutely makes sense with what you've said in terms of some of your favourite albums with Beyonce's Lemonade and Kanye West's The College Dropout. That's very much kind of centered around that musicality, the music that comes with the lyrics almost.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of like a two in one.
Has there been a particular album that you've related to in terms of like the subject matter, or you just the vibe or the sound of the album has come out at the right time? Like, it's a really summery album and it's come out at a really summery time. Is there a particular album that stands out in terms of relating to it?
Probably 1989.
Good shout.
When it came out, that's also a song, an album where you could go, oh, this song reminds me of then. Oh, this song reminds me of a different time. I just have really positive connotations, even though being in my dining room like singing at the top of my lungs with my housemates, it reminds me of singing with you, it reminds me of different people, you know, it reminds me of being at Wembley for her world tour, it reminds me of being on holiday, it just reminds me of so many different things.
And what I was going to kind of say along the lines of, you know, using music to kind of improve well-being, as we were saying earlier on, probably more so like a happier song will probably impact your well-being a little bit more in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that brings out that positive reaction? You know, we mentioned, you know, what makes a great song. We've said very clever lyrics and the beat and the bass and things, but what actually is it that that creates a positive reaction to a song?
I think if you want to instantly sing along, and if you're instantly drawn in to, I guess, be a part of it and sing along or dance or smile, I think all of the songs that we've mentioned, minus the pianist soundtrack, are things that you can really like belt out. I think songs, I mean, you and I obviously love a sing song. So I think one of the things as well, so even if it's like a dance track, you know, if you can still sing it, if you can still engage and just, yeah, have a little, you know, dance like no one's watching, sing like no one's listening, I think that for me is probably what ultimately changes my mood or makes me in a better mood or, yeah. Just,
that's so true, because if you think about, like, the first song that comes to mind when you say singing at the top of your lungs is Celine Dion, It's All Coming Back to Me Now. Quite a sad song, again, lyrically. You know,
yeah, really sad.
You're a history of the slamming of the door. It's very, very, you know, again, emotionally charged song. But I don't get any of that when I'm singing it, especially when I'm singing it with you and we're in the car and we're bombing it down the motorway. But you were literally belting it out. It's just a feeling of joy being able to, exactly what you said, be part of the song, almost kind of performing it and being able, of course, we can't dance when you're driving, but feeling that you are part of that performance and singing along. I didn't even think of that before about how actually that, you know, it's the engagement, it's the involvement other than actually just a happy sounding song. It's being able to engage with it.
I think it's just huge, isn't it? I think any song just properly sing is, you know, and even if it's not like clever a song, if it's still, you know, like you said about Crazy in Love, you can still strut onto the dance floor and sing it about our tennis shoes and care that you sound a bit stupid, because it's just that feeling that you're empowered and you're emboldened by it.
You're still able to engage with it, much like Celine Dion's song. You can sing, that's your engagement, by singing along with it. A lot of Beyonce songs, you engage with it by dancing, you know, whether it's Crazy in Love, Baby Boy,
7-Eleven.
Old, seven, oh my goodness. Fresher Than You.
Fresher Than You.
Shout out to Alana for being part of that moment as well. But yeah, absolutely. I think that's such an interesting, I've never really thought about that before. It's about actually your level of engagement with the song. That's really, do you think you get the same, is that the same on the other side? So if you are engaging with a song so emotionally and, you know, the message of the song is, you know, heartbreak and loss, etc., and you're engaging with the lyrics so strongly, do you think that's what makes a sad song even sadder?
Yeah, because I think if you can listen to a song and be like, oh my God, I feel that too, you know, I think that totally, like, you know, like Tom O'Dell, Another Love, it's lyrically to you, but I think, I mean, everyone can relate to at least some of what these sad songs are saying.
Well, I was thinking Adele's Someone Like You. I think everyone has probably had that feeling of, you know, never mind, I'll find someone like you, you know, when a relationship comes to an end, like, you know what, I'm going to pick myself up, but, you know, don't worry, I'm going to find someone like you. I think that's such a universal message.
Yeah.
And also, very powerful lyric.
So I think with Adele as well, I think there's a moment in that line where she actually says, I kind of just want to know you're okay. I've definitely had that.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't necessarily, you know, need to talk to you or need to, but just knowing sometimes that people have got through something and they're okay. And so, yeah, I think Adele, that song in particular, because I think Hello has just been so over memed, and, you know, even herself
alive,
I think she killed that a bit as well, which is interesting. Hello. Definitely Someone Like You. I think, everyone can at least relate to a part of that, if not more.
Yeah.
That's hugely.
But, you know, that Gautier song as well that came out at a similar kind of time, Now You're Just Somebody That I Used to Know, I think that's also quite a strong universal message. I think we've all got those people that you are, you know, helplessly in love with at the time, and then 2 or 3 years later, or however long later, they're just somebody that you used to know. You know, they're no longer part of your life story. And I think
it's just an old bit of fabric in your life.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's why songs like that, I suppose songs like that and Adele's one as well, you know, the saddest song in the world is never going to be number one in the charts for so long, because you need an element of kind of pop music about it. You know, you need a bit of a beat. And, you know, that Gautier song especially is actually Bar Bar Black Sheep. You know, the fundamental beat behind it is Bar Bar Black Sheep. So you do kind of need that pop element for it to be popular. But I do think it's the message of the song, likewise with Adele, that has made songs like that just so popular. we've spoken a lot about music and how we respond to music and, you know, what we like about music and things. How important do you think music is to life? And then also, how important is it for someone's well-being to listen to music?
I think it's huge, because I think it's something that you have alongside you your whole life. You know, you sing to a baby and you see their first smiles coming from, you know, you singing about barnyard animals or whatever. And then people pick songs to play at their own funerals and wakes. And so that obviously means that, you know, by the end of your life, you've got songs that you feel are, I guess, representations of you, or they say something about you, or they make you feel really happy. So in that moment of grief, it may be to make other people feel really happy. So I think music just, it goes alongside you your whole life. And, you know, there'll be albums that you remember because your parents like them. And, you know, my mum loves Carly Simon. So all I have to do is like listen to a bit of Carly Simon and instantly I feel like I'm at my mum's. And, you know, or a bit of like Andrea Bocelli comes on and I think of my auntie. You know, it's so, it ties you to moments in your life. And I think going through that, I think, yeah, ultimately, I think music is destined to make people feel better in a way, because I think these people are artists, and I guess that's their art, right? They want something. So I think, you know, whatever you like, just I think listening to music is so important.
Yeah. And what you said there about, you know, the importance of it in terms of, you know, the positive side of listening to music and, you know, the memories it creates. I also think on the flip side as well, on the negative side, I think it's also really important for people to feel emotion and not bottle it up and not think, oh, I'm feeling shit, I need to put on a mask and I need to be happy for everyone. I think it's really important that people do feel comfortable to feel emotion. And I think what music does sometimes is when you're not able to, you know, explain to someone how you're feeling, sometimes if you can find a song and say, you know what, I just listened to this song. I remember there was a few years ago, there's a song by Codaline, All I Have is the name of the song. And I remember talking to my friend at the time, just not feeling very well and just like mentally. And they were like, well, what's wrong? I was like, I just don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm feeling. I heard this song that my friend suggested I listen to. And I was like, you know what, listen to this song. This is how I'm feeling right now. And I think it provides such a good resource for people to be able to say, or for people to use to
like an outlet, to
how they're feeling. Yeah. And then have that outlet feeling of, you know, singing along to it as well at the top of your voice and crying along to it if you really want, and have that 4 minutes of just, you know, emotion and get it out your system rather than kind of just
release
and move on. Yeah. Mm. I think it's that relatable side of things. And I'm a well-being kind of champion at work as well. And one of the things I suggest is if you don't know how to word how you're feeling, find, you know, I mean, I encourage people to listen to music and try and find a song that you can relate to. But you can do the same with, like, you know, is there a particular TV show or a particular film where a character is acting in a certain way and you're like, oh, that's how I feel. You know, I think it allows other people to kind of get into your mind a little bit in terms of understanding what you're thinking, because
that's a sight into your psyche.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's probably one of the reasons I love music so much is, I mean, there's a thousand different reasons why I love music, and I'm sure there's even more reasons why you love music, but I think that is one of them, is being able to relate to it and then say to other people, you know, this is how I'm feeling, and use it as a tool to talk about how you're feeling, which I don't think, if I'm honest, sometimes I wasn't around 40, 50 years ago, but I don't think that would have been the same 40, 50 years ago. I feel like that's probably a slightly newer thing where people are feeling a bit more confident to talk about how they feel.
Yeah, definitely. Although I suppose potentially maybe just wasn't as widely spoken about then.
Yeah.
Because I suppose if you think about history of rights and any rights, you know, you've always had people singing about like female empowerment or, you know, like 9 to 5. And then, you know, if you think of, you know, Pride Month now, and, you know, like one song, especially at the moment, and again, it's linked to TV because I just watched It's a Sin, but the Pet Shop Boys' It's a Sin, a song that, oh, when that comes on, it's just so powerful. And I guess there's always been elements of songs for different groups, but yeah, I think I suppose now we're just, I guess it's the awareness as well that goes alongside it, with people sort of turning around and saying, you know, it's okay, like you just said, you know, listen to an album if that's how you feel, then that's great because you've identified it, and you know, you can feel it's fine.
And do you think people are using music more? Like, if I think about Beyoncé, for example, you know, when she first started out, and of course you have to almost kind of establish yourself and get the credibility before you can start going off on a political route. But I kind of get a sense that music is more politically charged these days than it was before.
I guess generally. Censorship. We're so lucky that I guess censorship isn't such a big thing, and that you will, I guess, because like you just said about Spotify, I mean, I'm a Tidal user because, you know, Lemonade was released first on Tidal, so I've never
cancelled that free subscription. No.
Yeah, never cancelled it. And I think, you know, these people are not the people that were originally controlling the BBC radio platform or, you know, other platforms. So now if someone wants to say F you Boris on an album, well, they can. And there's absolutely no, you know, they didn't show girls on film, did they, the music video, because it was seemed to be a bit rude. So whereas now you could stream that 1,000 times in a day on Spotify if you really wanted to, because there's the censorship is coming from a different place. So maybe that's part of it as well, because we're just a lot free, and we're able to do, we're lucky to be able to do what we want and choose what we want to.
Yeah.
But yes, with the likes of some places in the world, you know, you've only got to look at what Pussy Riot in Russia, and they are sort of censored. So I guess in a way we're lucky that we can A, talk about mental health, B, listen to music, and then C, sort of, you know, watch TV and films and things that are full of music and are full of emotive ways for us to engage.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting quite conscious of probably moving on to more media, social media, and how that can impact our well-being, which is a great discussion for another show, another week. But I just want to say thank you so much for the conversation that we've had just now, and how music can affect kind of how we feel and our own well-being, and how it can impact our mental health. Thank you for everything you've said, and letting us into kind of an insight into what your favorite songs are and what your favorite albums are. I'm going to go and download the Maverick Saber song I need, because I've got that written down.
Let me know how makes you feel.
See how that goes. And and just again to say thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me to chat.
You're very welcome. And then start thinking about what your next subject can be, because for season two, we'll have to start thinking about other subjects. Maybe we'll just have a whole episode on how Beyonce can affect your well-being. I feel like there's enough content.
Yeah, I think so.
We should have just done that this time, to be honest. I mean, we pretty much did, but
yeah. With a few other artists thrown in. A good measure. Her sister. Keep it in the family.
Yeah, how the Knowles family generally can impact your well-being. So listen out for that. That will be on season two. Thank you very much for your time. Really appreciate it.
You're so welcome.
It's always so much fun spending time talking with Jess, and I'm so pleased we got to talk about a topic that we both feel so passionately about. I absolutely loved how she described music as a companion in our lives, and I've really been thinking about that since we had our chat. It's so true. Music can really speak to you and speak for you, almost like a best friend can. It can also make you feel so much joy and love, but also completely break your heart. I thought that was a brilliant comparison, and I really loved hearing what Jess had to say. If you did too, then don't forget to check out the rest of the series, as we have real talk with real people about a whole host of different subjects. Thanks for listening.